If I fall asleep in my sermon today, that's just, I've been on the road, and so you won't be the only one. So we're going to start with a quiz. This is really, really important. Now, these are opinions, but I do want to preface that there are correct answers. And I asked my wife about all of these, so my opinion was right. So here's your first question. Over or under? Over. Okay, you're correct if you said over. Okay. Pineapple on pizza? No. No. Really important. Is this the Cowboys' year? Yes. Okay, good. Cups in the cabinet, face up or face down? They go right side up. Okay. Cornbread, sweet or unsweet?
Sweet.
Sweet. No, not both. Sweet. Coke or Dr. Pepper? Sweet tea. Just to clarify. Okay. Ketchup on eggs? No. No. Okay. This is a public service announcement, this next one. Speakerphone in public. Walking around the grocery store, at a restaurant. No. 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 If you are one of those people, please do us all a favor. Stop. Perfect thermostat setting. 68, 69, 70, 71, 72? 68. And the most important one of all, was the sermon too long? No or no? We all have opinions, correct? We all have the things, and those are fun, right? We can joke and laugh about them. But there are some things that are a little bit more weighty. Things that are a little bit more important. Things that are a little bit more serious. But I think wisdom comes in knowing the difference between the two. The ones that are really important hills to die on. And yet matters of opinion that might not be as important in the overall equation. Paul is dealing with disagreements. He's writing to a church or to the churches in Rome. And he says, accept the one whose faith is weak without quarreling over disputable matters. One person's faith allows them to eat anything, but another whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The one who eats everything must not treat with contempt the one who does not. And the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does. For God has accepted them. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To their own master, servants stand or fall. And they will stand for the Lord, or for the Lord is able to make them stand. One person considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers every day alike. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. Whoever regards one day as special, so to the Lord. Whoever eats meat does so to the Lord. For they give thanks to God. And whoever abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. So there's several different groups of people that are struggling with just getting along. And really what Paul says is it's over some opinions. It's not really based on their scriptural understanding. It's based on what they think. There's this one group who's saying it's okay to eat the meat that was sacrificed to idols. They're in a pagan culture, and animals would be sacrificed, and then the rest of them would be served basically in the city square. And you could buy it, you could purchase it. You have a group that's saying, well, no, that the Sabbath is really, really important and you have to do these certain things just like this. Or we need to celebrate Passover and it has to be done just like this. And if you don't, and you have these two different groups, this group of Gentile Christians who have just come to Jesus, really fighting with a group of Jewish Christians who are saying, hey, you're not doing it like we do. You're not doing things exactly like you should. Because you should do it the way we do it. Now, I know that was a different time and that doesn't happen nowadays. But just in case we have to deal with those situations, how do we navigate them? How do we handle disagreements? And more importantly, how do we have the wisdom to know which are the things that we really need to say, no, this is important, this matters, and there cannot be any deviation from this. And things that might not be so important in our journey with Jesus, to the point that unity is more important than your opinion, or that it's more important than my opinion. You have this group who has just come to Jesus, and the people who have been a part of God's family, the Jewish Christians, are judging the ones who just came because they're not doing it the way they did. And you have this group who has just come to Jesus and they're despising or holding in contempt the ones who are trying to force their ways on them. And it creates this disagreement. And the problem in our churches is not disagreement. Disagreement is okay. Right? It brings up this question, is it possible for sincere believers to see things differently? Is it possible to see things differently? Because most of the time, the way we think about it, I do at least, is, oh, well, they've kind of walked away from their faith. Maybe they've just grown in understanding. Maybe they see or understand something differently than I do. Is that okay? Can we still be unified as the body of Christ when we see things or understand things differently? Because whether they are despising or judging the other one, the problem is the same. It's division. They're not unified. They're not unified around Christ. So there's a story. I told Mike Warner this morning, I promise you, someone just put this in. In Joshua. I've missed this all these years. But in Joshua 22, let me kind of tell you what's happened. Moses has told the eastern tribes that you can have this land across the Jordan, but before you go and occupy it, you have to remain with the rest of the tribes and continue to fight with Israel. And so we get to chapter 22 of Joshua, and Joshua tells the tribes, hey, you have been faithful and you have done just what Moses commanded you, and you have fought, and now God has given us everything. And so I'm going to let you go back across the Jordan to your home, and you can settle there, and you can be happy. But I want you to remember the commands that God gave you, to be faithful to Him, to serve Him, and for Him to be the only God that you worship. And they say, we will do it, and they head back across the Jordan. Now, when they get back across the Jordan, I want you to listen to what happens in verse 10. When they came to Gilead, near the Jordan in the land of Canaan, The Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, those are the eastern tribes, built an imposing altar there by the Jordan. And when the Israelites heard that they had built the altar on the border of Canaan at Gilead, near the Jordan, on the Israelite side, the whole assembly of Israel gathered at Shiloh, I think that means here, to go to war against them. Okay? So here's what happens. They go back home. They've just said, we're going to worship God. And they build this massive, it says imposing altar right there. Okay? That seems okay. But listen to what the response is. The other tribes, all of Israel, verse 16, the whole assembly of the Lord says, how could you break faith with the God of Israel like this? So there at this point, they see this massive altar. They all get together and they say, we're going to go kill them. And then someone, I guess, speaks up and says, hey, do you think we should go ask them what they were doing? Or should we just kill them? Let's kill them. No. Let's go talk to them. And so they march across, this delegation marches across the Jordan, and they go to them and they say, why are you doing this? Why have you abandoned the ways of God to go and serve foreign gods? Why are you abandoning the tabernacle, the temple, and not worshiping where we're supposed to worship? And they're ready to kill them. And someone says, wait, let's go ask. Let's just see what they're thinking. Then, verse 24. No, we did it for fear that someday your descendants might say to ours, what do you have to do with the Lord, the God of Israel? The Lord has made the Jordan a boundary between us and you, and the Reubenites and the Gadites. You have no share in the benefit, or excuse me, I lost my place. You have no share in the Lord, so your descendants might cause ours to stop fearing the Lord. Okay? They say, we did it not to abandon the ways of God. We did it because we want to remember that God is God, that He is our Lord, and that we are together with you. But when they saw it, they assumed their motives were different. And they draw their swords and they're ready to go kill them without ever simply asking, what is it you're doing? Why are you doing this? Why have you built an altar? Didn't you say when you went back across the Jordan you were going to remain faithful and obey the commands of God to serve Him only? And if you said that, why have you abandoned it? We haven't. We haven't abandoned God. We wanted to put this here as a reminder that God is the Lord of all and that we serve Him and that we are all together as a family. It was a perspective problem. And I want you to listen to how that chapter ends. The Reubenites and the Gadites gave the altar this name, a witness between us that the Lord is God. Could you imagine what would have happened if they hadn't walked across and simply asked a question and had a conversation? What if they all rose up in arms, grabbed their swords, marched across the Jordan and killed everyone because they have not been faithful? When in fact, that was their entire purpose. To have something visible to see that reminds us that God is God. Now, the good news is you and I don't go to war over these types of things. But sometimes we go to Facebook. We might not go to war, but we might go gossip in the hallway. We might not go to war, but we might go find that friend who's going to agree with us so that we can complain. We might not go to war, but we have different ways that we handle those disagreements in our culture. And I think you could safely say, in just our fellowship, there have been so many reasons over the years that our churches have split. We've split over chairs versus pews. We've split over whether women can wear pants to church. Some of you, shame on you today. No, not please don't take that seriously. We've split over one cup or many cups. We've split over worship styles. We've split over kitchens and gyms and classes. I tried to just research all of the reasons that churches of Christ have split. And it was far, far, far too many to even begin to name. And what's funny is you name some of those kitchens or gyms or pants or suit and tie and all those reasons, and most of us will kind of say, but I promise you, if I keep naming them, I could hit one that strikes a nerve with me. And I'm pretty sure I could hit one that strikes a nerve with you. Listen, there are some things that are important, and they are hills to die on. And they are things that our fellowship has to have as central to them, that we cannot deviate from. But there are a lot of things that Paul's addressing here. It's just you see it differently than they do. I love those words from James. He says, be quick to listen. Be quick to listen. Be slow to speak. And be slow to become angry. And our culture has flipped that. Right? We're very slow to listen. We're very, very quick to speak. And very quick to become angry. And I think the encouragement from James is simply, just like they did with the Eastern tribes. Wait, before we go kill them, should we talk to them? Should we find our unity in something else than just simply what we think. Right? I sing, we're going to sing it in just a minute, in Christ alone. And I think everyone in here would say, amen, in Christ alone. That's where our hope is found. But can I be honest with you for a second? A lot of times, my thought process is in my wisdom and works alone. And where I fall short, Christ fills in the gaps. I fall into that trap sometimes. I'm guessing maybe some of you do too. Where we start to think it's about what we know that saves us. And what we do that saves us. Rather than Christ. And I put my hope not in Him, but in me. I put my hope here. The series is called Castles in the Sand. And the thing is, if you build a castle, eventually it's going to collapse. If you build that sandcastle, eventually the tide's going to come in. Eventually it's going to fall apart, and it's not going to stand. And when it's my wisdom and my works is my hope, eventually that castle is going to crumble. Eventually that castle is going to fall. What I loved so much about Trek, and here's a picture from our journey up the mountain, and like Ryan and Bennett said, it was 40 to 50 mile an hour winds. It was 42 degrees. At one point, it was 41 degrees and a 21 wind chill. And the wind was just beating against us in the face the whole time. But like they talked about, what made it bearable, what made it possible, is knowing that we're all on this journey together. We're all going the same direction. And that became what, there were so many differences in that line of people. Age being one of them. There were so many differences. But what unified us is the direction we were going. And all of a sudden, all of those differences didn't matter quite as much. This last year for Shiloh has been a really, really hard year. It's been a hard year for our church family. It's been a hard year for several families in our church. But I think one of the things that made it possible is that we're all in this together. Because the difficulty and the pain of journeying together with each other unifies sometimes like nothing else can. And we never get to this point where we think, oh, I'm so thankful we went through those really difficult times. But we look back on the other side and say, God, as difficult as this time was, and we never want to go through anything like this again, there is a sense of unity here that we are bound together because we are pursuing the same thing. And all of a sudden, some of the little differences that before seemed so massive seem pretty small. Because we are together pursuing Christ. And we are walking towards Him. And there are some days where it is really difficult. And days we don't know if we're going to make it. And days we're questioning, God, where are you at? We need you to show up. But when you can look to the left and the right and see other brothers and sisters who are on this journey with you, there is a sense of unity that can come in no other way. For these Jewish and Gentile Christians in Rome, life was incredibly difficult. Trying to follow Jesus in the epicenter of the Roman Empire. And I think Paul would simply say to them, wait. I know those things seem really important to you. But there is a bigger picture that you're missing. And this journey is not easy, especially here in Rome. Why don't you focus on the one thing that unites you and not the many things that can divide you? I think he might say to us, listen, there's a lot of important things out there. But living as followers of Jesus in our world today is really difficult. And there are a lot of differences in this room. But there are a lot of things that could separate us. But I think Paul would say there should be one thing that brings us together. And that's following Jesus. And if you will agree to follow him with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your strength, a lot of these little things that divide will not seem as big. And the beauty is not just simply what happens in here with this group of people. It's what the rest of the world gets to see in us. Because most of the time, people outside churches look in and they say, I don't want to be a part of that. Because they bicker and they fight and they complain against each other. And there's always this division within. And I don't want to be a part of that. But if they look and they see this beautiful picture of the body of Christ unified around Jesus, and they see something they cannot deny. Something that is so different that the rest of the world does not understand. Paul is not forbidding discernment. What he is forbidding is you and I allowing our opinions and our thoughts to be the judge of other people. Can we agree that Jesus is Lord? Can we agree that he was crucified and buried and that he rose on the third day? Can we agree that we worship and we serve him? There are some of those things that we cannot deviate from. They are central. But there are a lot of things that have divided us in the past. And I think Paul's hope would be that you and I could look across this room and see our differences not as a problem, but as something beautiful. That in spite of our differences, we are still gathered around Christ. Paul says in Philippians that we don't do anything out of our anxiety and fear, that we just simply give everything to him. And here's the promise that comes with it. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. He uses this military term of guard. And if I'm honest, what I want to guard my heart most of the time is the things that I can control. My knowledge, my wisdom, my works of Christ. But what he says is not hold on to it so that you can guard your heart. He says, surrender it to me and I will guard your heart. I will care for it. And I think when he does that, he helps us to discern what are the things that we have to stand on, that we cannot falter. And what are the things like meat sacrificed to idols? What are the things like holy days that other people think might be more important? Don't let those become something that divides. Because we are not united around simply what we think. We are united by Christ, not uniformity. We are united around him. But what do we do, real quick? What do we do with the things that are important? Two things. One is the wisdom to hold grace and truth together, like we talked about a few weeks ago. The wisdom to hold grace and truth together. And then secondly, the wisdom that James speaks of when he says, I want you to be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry. If you can do those things well and center your world around Jesus and following him, some of those other matters, the ones Paul calls disputable, they'll start to seem so much smaller. See, it's not that it doesn't matter what we believe or think, but it's where we center our unity as followers of Jesus. It is in Christ alone. Father, we thank you so much for this time. God, we're grateful to be together. We're so thankful for the ways that you continue to love us. Father, in spite of the ways that we act so many times like children, we act like children and we try to be the judge of everyone else. But Father, we are all accountable and stand before you. Help us to remember that as followers of Jesus, we are on this journey together. And that we are unified not by our mind and our thoughts or our opinions. We are unified around Christ. And he is the center of everything. So Father, help us today to look across the aisle, to love our brothers and sisters well. And Father, in that way, show Christ to the world. We thank you. We pray this in Jesus' most beautiful and precious name. Amen.